Blog Talk Radio.
Cleanse us by the blood of your Son, that we may all be worthy to boldly approach your throne, Heavenly Father. Holy One of Israel, I pray on behalf of those present, on behalf of those who are on their way, on behalf of those who are home listening, on behalf of those who throughout the four corners of this world, Heavenly Father, in obedience to your Torah, I gather together in keeping your holy Sabbath day. May your grace and your mercy and your compassion be extended to each and every one of us, Heavenly Father. And may you strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may all continue in your word, Heavenly Father, not going astray to the right or to the left, but when we do, as we often do, Heavenly Father, we ask that your loving kindness be extended to us, Heavenly Father, and that you chastise each and every one of us, Heavenly Father, that we may always return to you, our first love. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are mentally and emotionally burdened this day or each and every other day, Heavenly Father. We pray that you uplift their spirit, that their hearts, that their minds be focused on you, Heavenly Father, so that they are not plagued by the burdens and the obstacles that we as human beings face in this world in which we live, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are stricken with physical ailments, Heavenly Father, who are suffering physically. We pray that you bring them comfort this day, Heavenly Father, even on your holy Sabbath day, that they too may lift holy hands and say, Hallelujah, for you are worthy to be praised, Holy One of Israel. In the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, we ask these things. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moses his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shiva. And how's everybody doing today? We want to keep the Moreh Ahav Al prayers. I received a message that the brother wasn't feeling well today, which is why he's not here delivering the word. So may the Most High bless him. May he have a speedy recovery. continuing with the teaching today about the creation. As the Most High leads us and guides us. And this broadcast, for those who are listening, is study to show yourself approved. And I think that's a good place to start. Study to show yourself approved. And this is a message that has been heralded for quite some time. But let's look at that passage. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto Yah, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when you think about Revelation in our world today, Temptations, they had a song years ago called Ball of Confusion. This is exactly the state of our world today. When you think about the relationship that humanity has with the Most High, it's a ball of confusion. You see that there are so many doctrines circulating. Even Brother Shaw was talking about being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There's so many doctrines being circulated, and we can even narrow it down to just among those who refer to themselves as Hebrew Israelites. There's so many diverse doctrines being spread, which are supposedly connected to this word in some way, shape, or form. But what you find, and when you, again, study, that a lot of the things that are being taught today by many of the groups are, in fact, totally contrary to the word of the Most High. So study. Let's look at that word for a moment. The word in the Greek, of course, is the term spoudazo. And what that simply means is to use speed. And here we go again with this whole translation thing. Okay? Now, when it says to use speed, in our mind, and matter of fact, let's look at the word speed according to the English. The rate at which someone or something is able to move or operate. When you think about speed, you think about swiftness, okay? But an archaic meaning for this particular word is success, prosperity, okay? Even a little further, he says, to make effort. So when you think about study, when we, for example, when we consider the word study in the English language, let's look at that. The devotion of time and attention to acquiring knowledge on an academic subject, especially by means of books. And that's what we think about when it comes to study. But one of the things that I believe everybody sitting here has come to realize, when it comes to studying the word, you don't even have to crack a book when it comes to studying the word. Now, I'm not in any way, shape, or form teaching against that, because at some point we should devote some time to picking up the word and reading the word just to get an understanding. But my point in saying that is this. When we understand what this is talking about, spoudazo, to use speed, to make effort, earnest, what he's actually saying, there is an amount of dedication, which we even see in the English definition, that we're supposed to give to this way of life, not just to reading. Sometimes people can just pick up the book and read, and then they put it back down, and that's it. But when you hear the word to make effort, okay, in your lives, which is something that we learned some time ago, it's one thing to read about the festivals that the Most High commanded to Israel. It's one thing to just read about it, and I'm saying that because in many Christian congregations, the pastor may teach a lesson about the feast days. And they may try to link these feasts with the Messiah in some way, shape, or form, just to substantiate why. Because now what people don't realize, what you've just done, You have taken the word of the Most High, and you have now incorporated that word into your life. And as a result, when we understand that the word is not just some words on a piece of paper that's put there by some ink or some printing press, it's more than that. When we understand that the word of the Most High is alive and it does something, it moves, it breathes. When we understand that and when we apply that word to our life, what we also come to realize, because we're practicing it, it changes you. You can't be changed just by reading the word. That's why when you think about study, it's more than just picking up the book and reading what it says. Now comes the application. Now you have to apply these things that you have read to your life, as we were talking about before. When you hear the whole concept of being transformed by the renewing of your mind, he said that for a reason. But he goes on further. Study, then he says, to show thyself. And even when you look at to show, take a little slow today before we get to back to Genesis. To show, that word. And it's a compound term, and it means to stand beside. Think about that. To stand beside. So he's literally saying, we have to make an effort. Think about that. We have to make an effort to stand beside. It says, transitively, to exhibit. Listen to that. This is coming from show. Study to show. Now, the word exhibit, think about it. If you go to an exhibit, what are we going to? When we go to something that is on display, we're going to see something. So if he's saying make an effort, then he goes on to say to show, now we understand that we be exhibited. In other words, stand beside. We literally, and this is just taking the word at face value, tying it to the whole making an effort. But he knows where he wants to go with this. The word exhibit, publicly display. We're supposed to make an effort with the intent and purpose being that we are on display. Why is that? See, now, when we associate, because we already know because we've read the verse in its entirety, he's talking about study the word and rightly divide and things like that. So we already understand that it's the word of the Most High that's being talked about, spoken of. So if we're making an effort to be on display, what is it that the Most High wants to be saying? He doesn't want a group of people who come together regularly and read the Bible to be on display. He wants a group of people who come together and actually practice what the Bible say to be on display. That's what he wants to show. That's what he's telling us. He said, study to show thyself. See, and here's another important word, which is talking about us as individuals. What we have to come to realize when we read this word from Genesis to Revelation, we have to take it personally. In other words, we have to read this word as if he's talking to you as an individual. That's what we got to do. Because when it comes to one passage, it is appointed to men once to die. After that is the judgment. So when we pass away, there isn't, even though we consider Israel as being a family, not consider, but Israel is a family, Israel as a family will not be standing before the Most High. Every individual will stand and give an account for our individual lives. So when he says to study, to show thyself, what we have to take upon ourselves as far as the change of mind, change of thinking, this walk is a personal walk between me and the Creator, and nobody else is involved in that. That does not mean that we can't assist and help one another, but we are standing before him as an individual. Sometimes we need to focus on that and not so much on But the group, so for example, anybody who was a part of a group, a part of Israel, who feels as though, well, the group isn't this, that, and the third, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to separate myself. What have you just done? When people do that, and see, that's how little friends groups are formed. See, and what I've just done, I'm just looking at it from a whole other perspective, still individual, but sometimes in the sense of being the individual, we take it to the point where we want to be individual and separate from the group. That's why you got a lot of people among Hebrew Israelites particularly who believe that if they stay home and comb through the internet, that they're keeping Sabbath if they find somebody to listen to that's doing the teaching. Opposed to, as he said, forsake not the assembling of the brethren. When he says that these things are supposed to be a holy convocation, that's exactly what he meant. Now, your household, your home, is not the holy convocation. Not to say that the Creator is not there, but normally there's a lot of uncleanness in the household. So it can never be a reputable place where the Creator is satisfied with a person. Because see, this is the mindset. Well, me, my wife, and my children are gathering. Talking about the word right now. Study to show thyself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth, right? We're going to go back and we're going to get through some other stuff. But in another place in the scriptures, he said that we're supposed to offer sacrifice where his name is. And when he said that, the idea is that there's a place that, let's go to another passage. Not only did he say where his name is, but then he said, in the place that I have chosen. Where I have chosen to put my name. So that means there's a central location in all of the different communities. Even when you look at the history of our brothers and sisters, our forefathers. Now you had the temple. The temple was the primary focus at one point, but did you also know that outside of the temple, there were other little places they referred to as synagogues or houses of study where they used to come and gather? Matter of fact, when you read the scripture about the Messiah, it said, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue every Sabbath day to learn. He went to a place where they could sit down and they actually studied. They went through the Torah, they had classes. So when we see these examples, he didn't just say, okay, well, we're just going to gather together at so-and-so house. Now, in times where you have no place, that's fine. That will have to substantiate, that will suffice, in other words. Substantiate was the wrong word. That would suffice. But the intent and purpose is to get a central location so that you're not in somebody's household for the reason that was listed. The household is unclean. That's where those who live there dwell regularly. And they go through the different states of uncleanness, be it the man and the woman coming together, be it the woman going through that time of the month, be it somebody is stricken with some type of ailment and they have a running issue, you in the house. So the house is not the place for that to be. And I'm saying all this to just encourage people to come together on the Sabbath day according to the word. So it says, study to show thyself, again, as an individual. We don't want to take it upon ourselves to, you know, think we're bigger and better than everybody so that we want to separate. No, we want to stay among the group because as an individual, we can be a help and assistant to one another as well. Because that's also what the word teaches. He said, whether a brother or sister is overtaken in a fault, what are we supposed to do? Restore such a one. He didn't say, pack up your bags and leave them. He said, study to show thyself approved. We have to make an effort. Make an effort to exhibit ourselves as individuals, as acceptable to the Most High. That's what he's saying. We have to make that effort. Says, a workman. Look at that. Now he's adding something else to it. see, one of the reasons why he even created Adam, who knows? He was talking about the beginning, kind of sort of segueing into that aspect of the lesson of the day. When he created Adam for a purpose. Who knows what that purpose is? What did he say in Genesis? To do what? He says to work and to keep that garden. Well, has that changed? If he created the first man with that task, has that task changed for the rest of humanity? Or is that still our task? That's still our task, to work and to keep the garden. See, and that says now the garden has now expanded to not just include the Garden of Eden. He's talking about this whole globe. This is the garden. This is that land that mankind was given to keep. So he refers to us as being a workman. So the question we as individuals have to ask, what work are we doing? So now let's expand that, because we can look at it literally in the sense of making sure that this planet is taken care of. I believe we talked about that not too long ago. We were having a little discussion after service about that. But when we get down to it, what's the real garden that he's talking about? What's the real field that he's talking about? We know what it is. The Messiah told us. He gave parables to open up our minds so that we understand the greater truth. See, we as individuals, that it's not coincidence that he had to take Adam from the dust of the earth. See, we connected because we come from it. So when the Messiah gave that parable about the sower with the seeds, see, he was talking about the different type of ground. See, what's the good ground? Ground that good. So now, for those who have been growing some gardens, okay, you ain't, if that garden is all hard and things like that, that ain't good soil. You got to break that dirt up. You got to turn it over because that soil has to have some type of way for air to get down in there. So you got to break it up. See, he's talking about the field of our minds, right? Right? So when we think about us being workmen, study to show thyself approved unto Yah, a workman. See, that's the work each and every individual has been entrusted with. Now when we get to the whole idea of not being conformed to this world, as we were going through the whole Mishmakar, the Creator, the way he does things, and my hope is that people are seeing how broad this word is. You learn other things. And I'm kind of touching back into something that was mentioned earlier on the Shabbat. When we think about not being conformed to this world, because, see, you have in society, and I don't want to just say society, because we know that the rest of the people is corrupt. We want to narrow it down. We want to focus on the Hebrew Israelite. See, what the Hebrew Israelite movement doesn't realize, this whole equality thing, this whole feminist movement, there are so many agendas being pushed in the world today. Doesn't mean that a woman is a second-class citizen. Doesn't mean that. But what we as Bible believers have to accept, which is the harsh reality we've been talking about, the word of Yah is what it is. And there's nothing we can do to change that. But when we come to learn different things, we have to accept what it is. So in the mindset of the world today, which has now become a part of what we as Hebrew Israelites do, we want to bring in this whole feminist agenda so that we want to put women and men on the same level. That's not what the word does, though. It doesn't put them on different levels in the sense that a man should be abusive to the woman, but there is a divine order. Do we understand what that means? A divine order? That means that if the Creator said it's going to be this way, this way, and that way, we can't say, oh, no, well, I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to take this right here, and then I'm going to do it this way because, you know, the women, they feel a certain way about that. We can't do that. We can try to, That's why he said that they will think to change times and laws. They think because the mass majority of people today have this mindset with this feminist or feminism or this equality among the men and the women that it's changed in the heavens. No, 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 no. He said the word of Yah is forever settled in the heavens. See, that's what we're studying for. All a woman has to do, and I'm not trying to beat up on the sisters or anything like that. We're talking about what we're supposed to do, study to show ourselves approved unto Yah. That means as men, we have to search this word to find it, because we're talking about being a workman. That's what we're elaborating on. Because when it comes to being a workman, for a man, it means one thing. For a woman, it means something totally different. Because we're different. We're different. We're human. You were talking about the systems of the body. So you have these different systems. When we get to the reproductive system, man is formed a whole different way, and woman is formed a whole different way. That's a distinction. We can't alter that. We can't change that. When that woman has that child, the man don't put that child up to his breast to feed. We're not equipped to. It's the woman who's equipped to do that. So when we see these physical things, we learn physically from what you can see and handle. We're different. So when it comes to being that workman, that toiler, we have to find out what we as men need to be doing in accordance to the will of Yah, and women need to find out what you need to be doing in accordance to the will of Yah, not what society says. And that's one of the problems in Hebrew Israelite community today. They're trying to bring all these other ideologies into the world. We can't do that. What we're doing, like Brother Shaul said, be not conformed to this world. You can't bring that in here. That's why Christmas is such a big holiday. Think about it. Biggest holiday, most famous holiday throughout the world, Feliz Navidad. You know why? Because they believe Jesus was born on that day. What more important day in the world is that than the day when Christ was born? You see? But we know that's not what the Word teaches. But they took an idea from the Word, the Mashiach. And they took a concept that the adversary gave to humanity. And they intermingled them both, and now you have Christmas. That's what happened. This is the result of intermingling man's ideologies with the Word. What we're in the process of doing and what the Creator has put upon our hearts and our minds is to start combing through that Word, and what doesn't belong, we got to get it out of there. See, and sometimes, literally, you got to go through that Word with a fine-tooth comb, because the way that the adversary has tampered with this Word, people, we have accepted things. For example, how many times have we talked about before going to Ezekiel, third temple? Sister Malcolm sent out the video that the brother mentioned last week. Technically, nobody in this room knows where the temple stood. None of, we wasn't around. A lot of people that live over in Israel today don't know, because the temple was destroyed over 2,000 years ago now, or approximately. Only people who knew were the people who were alive during the time when the temple was destroyed. As those people died off, other people just knew based on what they were told. And then they start to die off, and then they may tell somebody, you know what it's like? Telephone. Exactly. That's what's happened. So there's a show happening downtown at the Civic Center. You know what the Civic Center is? What is it? Yeah. Okay. You know what the Civic Center is? Huh?
Okay, like, kind of like a community.
Okay, see? All right. Now, see, if I say that the concert was happening, what is it called now? The Royal Farms Arena? Well, see, when we was growing up, it was called the Civic Center. That's what it was called. We didn't know. Now that it's called, and you see the point. Thank you for proving that point. So as each generation come about, the other old generation dies off, and whatever knowledge they had, unless they pass it on, it dies. So So now people, they looking at that thing as being the Royal Farms Arena, and you talk about Civic Center. What's the Civic Center? So think about how that transferred the information pertaining to the temple and now what we have today. Now you're talking about being hundreds of years removed. And that's not that long ago when you look at our children. But my point being, again, we cannot intermingle the things that society has given with the word. We have to stick with what the word has given us. That's our foundation. That's all we had. So when we talk about being a workman, a toiler, what am I toiling to do? See, I'm toiling to find out who I am as an individual. That's my job, which is another point. I can't be so focused, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking at myself as being an individual, and I'm separating myself as the overseer part, okay? As an individual, my first goal is to make sure I am doing what the Creator, see? If I say hand, see, I can't do that with him. I can't be around him all the time and make him do what he needs to do. But I can do what I need to do. I can control myself. So as a workman, my first and most important goal is to make sure I'm doing what I need to be doing. That means that in my life, so what he does, he gives me a wife. See, what that wife, that's where the whole concept of echad comes from. Now that I have a wife and we have become one in the eyes of the Creator according to that word, we are one single entity, although we're two people. So that means when we grow up together, wife is going to see some things in me that I'm not going to see. I may be blind to. I'm going to see some things in wife she may not see. She may be blind to. But the fact that we live together, see, you can't put up that front all the time, 24/7. I can put up that front for 8 hours, maybe 10 hours, maybe 12 hours. But when I'm around somebody all the time, sometimes that mask is going to slip off and I'm, you know, try to keep it in place, but sometimes you're going to be slipping, and that mask going to fall off, and they're going to see who you really are. So when that happens, now they get to tell you about some things that you didn't realize was there. So when I'm getting that information, what I'm supposed to do, I'm a workman. Because, see, what am I working for? Says study. In other words, make an effort to exhibit yourself as acceptable to the Most High, right? So when these things are brought to my attention, now what I'm supposed to do, I'm supposed to go to work. I got to get my tools. I got to get my pickaxe, okay, my spiritual pickaxe, okay? I got to get my shovel. I got to get my rake. I got to get all these things, and I got to get the weeds out because that's what it is. See, them weeds, no matter. Remember when you came over, when y'all came past the house, and I was talking about what I'm going to do with my garden and all that? And at that time, they hardly had no weeds in there because we pulled most of them out. Come past the house now. It ain't take no time for that stuff to grow back. See? And that's what happens. See, we have things that are so deeply rooted in us. And the only way we're going to get it out, we got to dig a little deep in us. And we got to pull it from the roots. See, that's what we're working. How else are we going to be a display for the Most High and show what's acceptable if we still got all of these weeds up in us? Because in the whole parable of the sower and the seed, see, in another part, he said he was going to let them grow up together, right? So we got some evil in us. I think part of what our struggle is coming to accept that fact. We got evil. That's what we are. But we have to get rid of that. So we're being workmen. Then he says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why would you be ashamed? Come on now. How many of us have felt ashamed of ourselves? We know what we're professing. Yishrali. See, when you say that, what we don't want to do, that's just not a title that you could, anybody can take that. Oh, I'm a Hebrew. The Carmichael Show. Anybody watch that? Well, there's one episode. The lead character, what's his name? Is it Gerard? Okay. So, like, it's show us his idea. Well, his girlfriend finds out that her sister is a stripper. So a lot of, if you ever watch the show, you know how the family's sitting around and talk, and a lot of different things come out. And the next thing, you know, Gerard called Michael. He was defending the sister, talking about the equality, and you shouldn't judge people, and this, that, and the other. And then he said, because I'm a feminist. And then the father said, what you mean you're a feminist? He said, you don't know the first thing about this, that, and what, you know, because that's how they be talking. And then at some point during that conversation, the father, something was said, and then the father said, the pastor said, because I'm a feminist too. He said, yeah, that is easy. Because the dope was like, all you got to do is just say that's what you are. I'm a feminist. Hey, I'm a feminist. So, and I'm saying all of that to say, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. Well, that ain't a title you can just say, well, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. Well, that ain't what that is when we understand what we're supposed to point to. What's the significance of the word Hebrew? Ivri. Huh? That means that you crossed over. Crossed over from what? Now, what we understand, of course, literally speaking, crossed from one side of the river to the other side of the river. But what we understand, I'm one who crossed over from this world to the other world, from the physical to the spiritual. That's what I am. What does it mean to be an Ishir Ali? What you saying? So I'm one who crossed from the physical plane to the spiritual plane, and I rule as the mighty one. So if we are not living our life according to this word, sometimes we feel ashamed. But when we study to show ourselves approved workmen who need not be ashamed, that means what we are displaying, we can stand and be proud of it because I'm not messing up. That's what he's talking about. I'm not messing up. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do according to the will of the Father, so I need not be ashamed. That's what he's telling us. Workmen who need not be ashamed. But then he goes a little further. He says, rightly divide. Let me back up for a second. Now, I want to look at this word, that's not be ashamed, right? Number 422, anet ahishkuntos. Anet ahishkuntos. Anet ahishkuntos, okay? And the word, it means irreprehensible. Now, the word reprehensible, that's what we want to find out. Reprehensible means deserving censure or condemnation. That's what it means. And you see, it's real simple. And I'm laughing because this, when we read it, it's worded different. But let me go to a passage. It's not saying anything different from what it says here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yah, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable. He said the exact same thing. He just used different terminology. He says the exact same thing. He goes a little further. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah. The exact same thing. Ready to show yourself approved unto Yah, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's go back to that part. Rightly dividing. Now he's talking about orthotomeo, which again is a compound. And what this word, to make a straight cut. Just, let's look at it this way. Now, when we're looking at, of course, we're talking about rightly dividing the word. You see something, Aki? Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. See, so now he uses these examples again because man in his lifetime is going to have to cut something. And you know from example, there's a proper way to cut something. Rightly divide that watermelon, and there's a way that you can not rightly divide that watermelon, right? But the point is, if you don't do it the right way, it's going to, like you say, turn out lopsided. What does lopsided mean? See, when you think about lopsided, you think about, you know, uneven, imbalanced. Is that how we want our lives to be on display, as imbalanced? So when we talk about rightly divided, in other words, to make a straight cut, when it comes to the word, let's read a little bit more. To make a straight cut, that is, and it has figuratively, to dissect or expound correctly the divine message. Hear that? Because this is the only time this term is used, this compound word. To dissect something. The whole idea is to cut it. And then it has, in the definition for dissect, methodically. Think about something that's done methodically. What does that mean? Huh? You're putting some thought into it. What did you say? There's a method to it. See, so when you think about the word of the Most High, order my steps in thy word, and all these types of things, right? There's a method. We just can't put any scripture together. People have been doing that for years, and look at what you got. They've been doing it for years. Look at the world today. This is the current state of our world today is when the word is not rightly being divided. That's what it is. The word always been around. But somebody did it this way, and now you got Buddhism. Somebody chopped it up this way, now you got Hinduism. They chopped it up all these different ways. That's why you got all these different religions, because they all come from the one source. Every religious belief. Because, see, when you talk about the creator of the heaven and the earth, we follow a line from the beginning, and there was a particular group of men that he dealt with from the beginning. And from these men, of course, you think about Noah, for example. That's the first one that comes to mind, right? So Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Surely they knew, because at one point the Creator spoke to them directly as well. They was alongside of Noah. So they know the Creator. They know what he said. And what happened, they taught their sons. Well, guess what? Ham had some sons. Who was Ham's sons? Cush. That's your Ethiopians right there. You go back into the Ethiopian heritage. They knew about the Creator. Who you say? Mitzrayim. Guess who that is? That's Egypt. That means they knew about Yahweh. They were taught that by their father, by their grandfather. Okay? Who else? Libya. They knew about Yahweh at some point. Canaan. We know they knew about him. They try to say that the pronunciation we currently use is Yahweh. That's the way the Canaanites said it. Well, if that's his name, what difference do it make? If that's how he said it. But my point being, in mentioning all of that, these men, they had children. And they taught that, and now you would go back to the telephone game again. See, one of the things that you'll find, I was listening to something on YouTube yesterday. This guy, he was supposed to have this concoction that's supposed to be good for removing all viruses, things like that. So I just listened to a little bit of it. But when he was talking about praying and giving praise and all that type of stuff. Now, if you were to listen to that and you just remove all of the name of the Egyptian or the African deities, he's talked like one of us. But when he was saying, he said, in the name of this deity, in the name of that deity, in the name of that, that's the Holy Trinity he just made, the Father, the Mother, and the Child. Oh, wow. He pulling that stuff from the Word. That's where he's getting it from. But Ham's sons, they had information. And then you factor into that now the confusion of the languages. So the same information, yeah, we know that there was one man and one woman that was created. So it's not surprising if I can go to some pyramid over in Egypt and I find something that's supposed to be depicting the creation and I see them have a picture of a man and a woman. That does not mean that what they got, what we doing came from them. That just means they all come from the same source. That's why you have variations of the flood story. Because there is a truth to that. But when man split up, some went that way, some went that way, and the idea of Elohim has now been corrupted. So now when we think about Mighty One, we don't think about Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, entity, one, functioning Elohim, Mighty One, God of this, God of that, God of this, God of that. That's what happened. But it comes from the same source. So, and I'm giving these examples because these are truths, these are facts. You can search them out. When you look at and you study the different belief systems of all the other peoples, where they come from. It comes from one source. Why? Because it wasn't rightly divided. It was, as it says here, to dissect or expound correctly the divine message. So it wasn't correct. That's why you have the foolishness you got out here in the world today. So he said, let's finish up this verse. Study to show thyself approved unto Yah, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing it. And that's the name of this broadcast. Study to show thyself approved. Okay? Let me read this verse from another translation. Let it be your care to get the approval of Yah as a workman who has no cause for shame, giving the true word in the right way. Right? Isn't that what we're trying to do? So when it comes to the creation, what do we learn from the creation? And the brother, he touched on some things in the first class. In Genesis 1:1, Bereshit 1:1, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz. What did we learn in that first class? What did we learn? Yeah. The subject of this initial verse of the entire word of Yah is Elohim. That's the focal point. Elohim. 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 Mighty One. Power. And as Bible students, especially with the whole idea of the singularity versus the multiplicity of the Most High, we have to ask the question. It could have been really Bereshit bara et el. He could have very easily said that. He could have said Eloah. He could have easily said that. But why did he say Elohim? And not just that, I have to do a research because I never really asked this question before. But I have to find out when is the term El first used? Because all in the first chapter, we hear about Elohim. So why is it that he wants us to recognize whatever the creative force is? Why does he want us to recognize and acknowledge that it is more than one? Why? So to substantiate that, he goes down in verse 26. And he says, I know I'm probably skipping over a lot of stuff that the brother wanted to do, but as I believe, so shall we go. And Elohim said, let us, and do some, if you get an opportunity, how many people have an interlinear Bible? Okay. If you have an interlinear Bible, and I want y'all to do this for real. Matter of fact, this is what I'm going to do. Let me see something. Because you can prove these things. So when he says, let us, man, in our image, that means however he said that, there may be other places in the Bible that was used, right? So when he says, let us, he's talking about more than one, make man in our image after our likeness. And I wanted to go there because I wanted to show something. What do you want to show? We're talking about Elohim being more than one, right? So he said, okay, What we're going to do is we're going to make man in our image after our likeness so we can explain the significance of more than one. Right? So now, you take that, right? Now let's go over here to something that Brother Shaul said. Because, again, when we look at the word, which is another downfall for some people, we don't look at the word. Okay, you got some people, for example, the Samaritan Torah, which we talked about. Well, the Samaritans, they just believe in the five books. That's it. They don't believe in nothing more. Now, can a person be saved with that if they just believe in the first five books? Yes, they can. Why? Why'd you say no? Why'd you say yes? There you go. Because he said. See, you don't have to use any other book. I'm going to say you can prove Mashiach in Genesis. Okay? You can prove that. You don't need to have the other books because he's in all of it. Right? So you got one group, that's all they believe is in the Torah. Then you got the group, they believe in the Torah and the other books, which is the Tanakh, the Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. But then you got them who believe in that. They don't accept the New Testament. But then you have the New Testament believers who believe in a little bit, more specifically, the Psalms and the Proverbs. Because when you get them little New Testament books, I got an orange. I had an orange one anyway. And it has New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs. Okay? Because when people, they feel in a certain kind of way, matter of fact, if I remember correctly, in that book, when you feel them sad, read this scripture. When you feel them this way, read that scripture. They had a little different, you know, notation from Psalms or the Proverbs, and that's what they used that for, just to uplift them, which is nothing wrong with that. But you got a whole bunch of information that you are neglecting. So when we're looking at the word, and that goes with the right and divide, we're not just going from what Genesis says or what Genesis says. We're taking all of it. We're taking a whole library, because within the entire library that we call the Word of Yah, he explains exactly what he means. So Brother Shaul comes along, and he says, in Romans chapter 12 again, this time in verse 4, he says, "For as we have many members in one body," hold up. Then in another place, he goes on to explain, and he was touching on the gifts of the Spirit and things like that. And he was talking about, hold up, it's all one body. We all function as a unit. He said, the eye can't say, matter of fact, let's look at that. I think that's in 1 Corinthians. One body with many members. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, and verse 12. You is who he is, right? "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Mashiach." Huh? Now, it's simple. It just said it right there. Because now, when I hear Mashiach, what the mind does, Mashiach, in the beginning was the word was Yah, the word was Yah, and all things that was ever created was made by the word of Yah. So that there's nothing that exists that wasn't made by this very same word. And that very same word was made into flesh. And we refer to that very same word made into flesh as Yahushua HaMashiach. So when he says, "So also is Mashiach," see what people do, because this is what we've been taught. He's talking about the church. Yeah, he is talking about the church. But is that all he's talking about? Because he said in the beginning, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." That's what he said. So when he constructed man and he made man to have many members, so is Elohim. So he just gave us something. If everybody can understand that. If I was to tell you that Yah is the same, what are your thoughts? How you doing? Shalom, my king. If I was to tell you that Yah is exactly the same, the word is just an express image of Yah. So in Psalm 68, it refers to Yah Elohim, power, mighty one. And then it says that he proceeded forth and came from the Most High, from the Father, Then in another place he says, well, he thought it not robbery to be equal with the Most High. So when we think about, see, the whole purpose of the Aleph through Tav, the word, the letters, is to give us something to work with. Okay? Because each of the letters, they have different nuances, and we understand that because, you know, we went through the letters and things like that. So what he's showing us, all the different characters, these are the characters that compose and comprise what we refer to as God. They existed in the Father first, and all the Father did, if you can just imagine, taking the Creator, and if you can just imagine, this is what he did. The fullness of the Creator is my hand right here, right? And this is what he did. It's all that he did, he said. He made a mirror image of himself. But see, this is the part now, this is the part that he sent to do all the stuff and deal with humanity while he's chilling. You got the run of the company, the CEO. See, I'm like a silent partner. See, because that's how holy and sanctified he is. He can't have any dealing with the physical world, but he didn't want to leave the physical world alone and not have any involvement, so I'm going to create a carbon copy of myself, and that's the purpose. That's why the word of Yahweh came to this one, and Yahweh spoke into this one. That's why he does that, because the Father can't deal with it, so I created this part of me to do that. And when you think about this part, when we think about the letters and things like that, all he's saying is, we are one, a unit. That's why he said, and that's why it became the foundation of our creed, so to speak. Shema Yisrael, listen. Yes, well, hear me out. Yahweh is our mighty one. He's our power, and he is one. Not like all the other nations out there worshiping these gods and goddesses. He functions as a unit, but he still is composed of more than one power, just like you got more than one member in your body. So let us make man after our image, after our likeness. That's why he said that. So when we understand, he is the Aleph, he is the Tav, but he's the Bet, he's the Gimel. Think about it. He's the Dalet. And we can go through the scriptures and we can see that when he shows that's what he is. He's that house. Think about it. The name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. He houses us. Huh? We talk about the foot. You see, the things that pertain to the foot as the walk of the Most High. And we think about how the foot is even situated on the body. It's the foot that holds up the body. The foot or the feet support the body. So he's the support. It's kind of like saying he's the foundation. Boom, boom. Like that rock is the foundation, right? We already know the scripture says he's the doorway. No man comes through the Father but by. You got to come through the door if you want to get to the Father. That's what I am. No man prays the Most High like the Messiah did. See, I'm praying outwardly so that they can see. Father, I know you hear me all the time. That's what he said. This is just a show for the people. I know you. I know you heard that. You know the faith. I know you heard that. See, that's the relationship that he had. We already understand about the world. That's why it's in that name. He's the connection. He's what's holding everything together. You understand? Without going through everything. But we can see how all of these are just different characteristics of Elohim, and they are only a carbon copy of what the Father is. So when we read these things, I mean, the Word, and what we just did, rightly divided it. We look at what he says, it's Elohim. Then we took a look at, he created man in his image after his life. Let us make man out of it. See that? Then we go to another place in the Bible. Not some other book that some commentator wrote, someplace else in the Holy Scripture, and he said the body is one and has many members. Okay, that's Elohim. That's what he just said. That was three scriptures. Rightly, and you can substantiate it by going to other places. You understand how the word is? So our focal point, this class, study to show yourself approved unto Yah. a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now I'm going to stop right here for today so we can have some time to fellowship and talk. All right? Any questions, comments? All right. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are Mighty One, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the Mighty One, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah! Gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for privileging us with the revelation of that word, and we pray that above all things, when we embark upon a study of your word, that you continue to lead us and to guide us, that we come to the understanding as you see fit, Heavenly Father. We don't want to go astray to the right or to the left as it pertains to your word, but we want you to reveal what your divine will is for us so that we, Heavenly Father, may all make that effort, Heavenly Father, that we exhibit ourselves in this world in which we live, Heavenly Father, showing what is an acceptable way of life in you, Heavenly Father. Holy One of Israel, strengthen us by your Spirit that we may all be the workmen, be it a man, be it a woman, Heavenly Father, that we work to fulfill your desire in the role that you have given to each and every individual, Heavenly Father. We ask these things, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, that we are able to dissect and expound your word in a proper way, that we all receive edification, Heavenly Father. We humbly and sincerely ask these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon-coming King, by whom you said whatsoever we shall ask in his name, we shall receive. Therefore, we ask according to your divine will that these things be done. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because you have rejected his name.